Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 19th of January. Our guest this hour joined us before. It seems like it was yesterday, but it was maybe a few months ago. Paul Tukey is with us. Paul describes himself this way. He was one of those guys who made a lot of money putting weed and feed and insect killers on people's properties. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say, he says, that by 1992, my company that I started was in the top 10 of all lawn care applicators in Maine in terms of lawn care clients. He did most of the pesticide applications himself, and he got very, very sick by 1993 and 1994. Blurred vision, incessant eye twitches, headaches, nausea, you name it. He was diagnosed with acute chemical sensitivity due to all of the lawn chemicals that he was using to kill weeds and insects. So he decided to go organic. He had really no idea of how to go organic and lost a lot of money trying. He sold his lawn care business, but he was able to learn about going organic. He is the now 2006 Gardening Communicator of the Year. He is the founder of SafeLawns.org, which is an international coalition of for-profit and nonprofit organizations promoting environmentally friendly lawn care and resource conservation. He came to our attention because of this amazing film. It's just really a great film to watch. Critically acclaimed 60-minute film, A Chemical Reaction, which examines how Hudson, Quebec, became the first town in North America to eliminate these products, and how its battle went all the way to the Canadian Supreme Court, and how it's now gathering momentum in communities all over the United States. He's going to be in Wisconsin, and we're going to post on our Facebook page the exact times that he'll be in parts of the state. So if you want to go to that, Rhonda will have that posted by the end of the show. So we're happy to talk to Paul and welcome phone calls for him once again. Our number is 800-486-8655. If you want to send an email, that's talk@wpr.org. Hi, Paul. Thanks for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's our great pleasure. So how's it going now? I know you're speaking to people all over the country. Is there even more interest in communities all over the United States?
Well, I think that there is. We started the soft launch of the movie last year in actually the North American spring tour of the movie. We're calling it the Launch One in Your Town tour, meaning A Chemical Reaction. And the movie is playing tomorrow in Vancouver, British Columbia, the next day in Victoria. And then we're coming out on Friday to Stevens Point to the Garden Visions Conference. I believe that there are about 600 people pre-registered.
Great.
I did talk to the organizers, and they said if more people want to go to Stevens Point, they have an incredible, incredible lineup of speakers. And we're going to be showing the movie on Friday night there in Stevens Point. And then the following week, we'll be back in Madison, Wisconsin, showing it in downtown Madison. And that will be on Thursday night of next week. So I'll be giving lectures at both locations as well after the movie. They're both two-day conferences. The Garden Visions is Friday and Saturday of this week, and next week's event is called the Midwest Organic Lawn and Landscape Symposium. It's probably the finest lineup of organic experts that's ever been put together in one day in one building across the country. That's brought to you by Chickadee Doodoo, which is a Wisconsin company. They make organic fertilizer. So the short answer to your question is yes, I am. Judging from the interest in the movie, we have a 20-city tour over the next 60 days.
Great.
And we're very excited.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us your story again? It can't be told often enough because you were actually in the business of spreading these chemicals, and you got sick from it. So it uprooted your life.
Yeah, I mean, it really did. I mean, you come home at night after 12, 13, 14 hours a day of putting down insect killers or weed killers or fungicides on people's properties. And, you might, on the good nights, you might get some muscle twitches and eye twitches, and then on the bad nights, you'd get a flat-out nosebleed or a headache. And I really thought it was, what's going wrong here? It didn't even compute with me at that time, going back 14, 15, 16 years, that it might be the chemicals. I thought I was just stressed out from trying to grow a large company and pay my mortgage and make payroll. But I wound up certainly not the first doctor I went to. It was probably the sixth doctor I went to, started asking me about the products I was using. And he said, you know, ultimately he did some blood tests, found some chemicals that I was using in my blood, and said, you got to stop using this stuff or you could wind up dead.
Ugh.
And I tried to go organic, as you said in the introduction. I really didn't know what I was doing. And so the people's lawns weren't as green as they had been. I had a story that I tell quite a lot in public. That fall, I went to a store to buy the weed and feed in a two-for-one sale. And there was a little girl in the aisle making sandcastles out of a broken bag of weed and feed. And I said to the woman's mother, ma'am, you really shouldn't let your daughter play with that stuff. Well, she picked up her daughter as if to protect her daughter from me.
Oh, my.
And she, like, I had affronted her, oh, you know, her motherhood, really. And she went and got the complaint to the manager.
Oh.
The manager came over and said, I understand you have a problem. I said, well, no, actually, you've got poisons all over the aisle here. And he said, what poisons? And I said, well, I showed him the label. And they all say, caution, warning, danger, keep out of the reach of children. Every single bag in the aisle. And he says, well, there's nothing wrong with any of this stuff. They have to put this on there by law, meaning put those warning labels on there by law, but there's nothing wrong with it. And I found that most people believe that. And when I speak in public and I tell that story, everybody gasps, kind of like you did. But some of the same people who gasp at that story will actually apply the weed and feed over their whole property. And my question to folks is, okay, if you think a whole bag of weed and feed for your kid to be touching is bad, then how can a little bit be okay to put on your lawn spread across the whole thing? The fact is that at very, very small doses, these pesticides have been proven dangerous to children. But most people don't know that. Certainly the chemical industry doesn't want you to know that. And so I give these speeches around the country, and I just made this movie about, it's centered on this one doctor. She's a dermatologist. And she
and
had a
she
woman.
Is a sight to behold.
Isn't
she is
something?
So compelling.
Yeah,
yes.
I think she's amazing. I think
she is
an amazing woman. And it's really her story. She's the heroine of the movie. And people, and when she first comes on, like you said, she's a sight to behold. People don't take her seriously. But by the end of the movie, you know, we hold her up as a conquering hero. And I think that she spurred a movement. And people in Wisconsin may or may not know this, but in Canada, you can't go into a Home Depot and buy Roundup. You can't buy weed and feed because the doctors and the lawyers and the courts up there have all decided that it's too dangerous to be sold. But you know what? You can buy it at Home Depot here, and I want people asking why.
Right. Isn't it amazing that that this became so widespread, the use of these dangerous chemicals, without people really thinking about what they were doing, and it was going into the groundwater and into the mouths of our children and our pets.
Right.
What were we not thinking?
Well, it's no different than cigarette smoke.
Right.
It really isn't. It's the same thing. People were sold the Marlboro Man, and they started smoking. And in lawn care, the parallels, we were sold the green lawn aesthetic. And you want a weed-free, perfect carpet around your house that makes you look like a successful American. And, of course, they don't tell you about the side effects. And they don't want you to know about the side effects. And some of the same lobbyists for the cigarette industry now work for the lawn chemical industry. And, you know, they flat out hate me. They think I'm just the scourge of the earth because I'm actually trying to bring attention to this issue.
Well, you've not only brought attention, you've achieved a great deal of change in some parts of the world, i.e. Canada. And that must be a great threat to a $40 billion a year industry.
Well, their lobbyists openly state that they cannot allow what happened in Canada to happen in the United States, or they'll lose part of that $40 billion. But my argument is actually, folks, they won't lose part of that $40 billion. They're just going to have to sell us different products. My message as I go around the country is not to put anybody out of business. It's to change the way they do business. And when you have a company like Chickadee Doo Doo right there in Madison, Wisconsin, they're selling a product that makes lawns green. It's made from manure byproducts. And it's got all kinds of other minerals in there. It's great for the environment, and it makes lawn green without the toxic side effects. Why not go in that direction? Now, the chemical industry doesn't want you to go in that direction, but the fact is that there are plenty of products out there that allow you to have a nice lawn.
Let's go back to that woman in the Home Depot and her child playing with that fertilizer. How often does it happen? And I don't know if it happened with her or not. Perhaps not. When this breakthrough takes place, when you can reach people who haven't thought about this, who don't have an opinion about the use of these products, or people who thought that these products were really fabulous. How often do those breakthroughs happen, Paul?
Well, they happen more and more simply because the audiences are greater. And today's young mothers are so eager to hear this message. You know, my mother, and God bless her, she's 70 years old and she was the greatest mother on the earth, but she used to say in the springtime in Maine, she'd literally order us to take our shirts off and get some sun on our skin because she thought that you wanted to burn off that first layer of skin from the winter, that was somehow good for you to peel that skin off. And, of course, we know that's not good advice anymore. Now we have an awareness among women who are in their 20s and 30s that chemicals are inherently bad. The media is doing a pretty good job of picking up this message, and the sales of Roundup are down. Monsanto was whining about its profits on Roundup just 2 weeks ago. The reports came out that one of the components of Roundup, one of the so-called inert ingredients, actually kills human cells. And so all this stuff is starting to come out in the Internet age. You know, before the Internet age, a lot of that information might have remained buried, but now it's out there. And today's young mothers are aware of it, and I get that all the time. I get people watch the movie, people come up to me with tears in their eyes, or I do my lecture and people are just loaded with questions. I sign up for a 45-minute lecture and I'm invariably there for 2 or 3 hours answering questions from a very passionate audience.
How long did it take you and how hard was it to learn how to go organic, Paul?
Well, when I left the lawn care industry, I actually started a magazine for the Northeast and I focused exclusively on people who are having success organically. And I started to gravitate toward people who, lawn care professionals in particular, because it had been my profession. And I found people who were having success organically. And then I wrote a book called The Organic Lawn Care Manual. And in researching that book, I went all over the country to several states, warm season, cold season climates, and found people who were having success organically. And that was a real epiphany for me. It's one thing to preach, don't use any pesticides, but when you can actually preach don't use pesticides and give people the alternatives, and that's going to be what my talks are going to be about up in Stevens Point and then in Madison, people can come and learn the alternatives. And, you know, it took a while. It took a while for me to assimilate all that information, but if you come listen to me talk for an hour, I'm going to give you a good roadmap, and I'm going to point you in the direction where you can find additional information. And SafeLawns.org exists as a support system for folks who need additional information when I'm done talking.
Mm-hmm. And I've been to the site. It's very helpful, videos and all of that. We're going to welcome phone calls for Paul. Feel free to join us whenever you'd like. Here's our number, 800-486-8655. His website, again, safelawns.org. And the movie, you should see the movie. It's really interesting because this woman who started the movement in Hudson, Quebec, is very eccentric by many accounts, but she kept going to the meetings. People ignored her for a long period of time, and then they stopped ignoring her. So it's also a testimony to the power of an individual who knows what's going on and can make things change. Paul is also speaking all over the country, and he's speaking, as you heard him say, in Madison. We have the times of those. We will, by 11 o'clock, on our Facebook page. And that will be January 22nd at Garden Visions in Stevens Point, and then January 28th at this Midwest Organic Lawn Care and Landscaping Conference in Madison, which he said has the best line of speakers of anybody, any organization he's seen in the whole country. So we're talking about that this hour and welcoming your phone calls. We'll take them in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to phone calls now for Paul. We start with Grant from Milwaukee. Hello, Grant.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
I love this radio station. I listen to it all the time. Always got it on. I just find it so interesting that later in the day, maybe not today, usually Fridays they have the garden talk, and I've called in there a couple times to say, hey, you know, you don't need to spray. You can pull creeping charcoal out. You can pull your weeds out. Horse manure is a great thing. It's free. And I find it so curious that people don't want to. I always find the visceral reaction of, it's hard, I don't want to. And I think they should rename garden talk into chemical talk or something.
Oh, they do.
Always chemical.
But they also have
organic shows sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
Sometimes. But, man, they got people calling in with all different kind of chemical stuff. And I only hope those people are listening today, too, and they get both sides of the story and they can think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It is worth it. It's doable. And it's so great that, you know, this is an awareness thing. And we're not going to change everyone today, but I hope they consider it. And it really isn't that much difficult. It's so much more, I don't know, fulfilling when you're done, I think.
Well, and to be fair to that show, I've listened to it many times when certainly people are incredibly aware of what goes on the ground and into the ground. But this idea that it's very hard to change, you know, it's true in my neighborhood, I got to tell you. I've been on this kick for a long time too, Paul, and I eventually just had new sod put in. I live in the city, and it's a small area, and it turned out to be just all weeds. It was just all weeds, and I couldn't pull the dandelions anymore because I did it every day for hours and hours. So I'm trying to do it organically. But, almost everybody in the neighborhood uses chemicals, and I just don't get it. They're all smart people. They're concerned about their community and their children and all of that. It's so hard for us to change.
Yeah. Well, change happens in three stages. The first stage is awareness. The second stage is education. And the third stage is implementation. And so, you know, what people say, well, what can I do in my neighborhood? And I say, well, you know, print out one page from our website talking about lawn chemicals. Print it out, talking whether how to make the change or talking about some of the health risks or some of the environmental
That's
risks.
A good idea.
And stick it in their doorway. And
okay.
Say, please read this.
Okay.
And that, you know, so the education starts there, and maybe they'll look at you a little bit like they did June Irwin in the movie and say, oh, she's crazy, she's nuts, well, you know, leave me alone, it's not her business. But the fact
it's
is that, that what your neighbors are doing does impact you, and what you do does impact your neighbors. I mean, my own father has this attitude that, you know, my little acre of paradise is my own, and what I do on my property doesn't impact my neighbors, but that's absolutely not true. I mean, wind drift, and if the wind, even a slight breeze is coming in your direction, when you put down a pesticide, a weed killer, if your neighbor's doing that, the wind's blowing in your direction, you're getting a treatment too, and your kids are getting a treatment. If your dogs go across that property, they're getting a treatment. Or on the public park system, when I tell people to start there, it's harder to change neighborhood behavior, but it's actually easier to go march on town hall or city hall, wherever you live in Wisconsin, and certainly if you live near a lake, and say, hey, wait a minute. This is public property. Kids and dogs shouldn't be crawling on this stuff. And there's just oceans of evidence to that indicate that. So it doesn't mean you have bad people in your neighborhood. You just have unaware people
not.
In your neighborhood.
And I would imagine there are a lot of public parks that are not using those chemicals anymore. Am I right about that?
Well, I wouldn't say a lot, but there's
no.
Certainly more and more. And of course, Madison is a very progressive city, and they've done some great things with legislation eliminating phosphorus applications from around the lakes. And again, Wisconsin in general, I think, is a very progressive state. But, you know, to say it's a lot, no, there's a lot more work to do. That's why I'm coming out to Wisconsin a couple of times to spread this message. With all the lakes that you have, it's a very precarious place to be. And the pesticides and phosphorus nitrogen runoff from all these products that your previous caller said, you know, they're not necessary. And guess what? It's not more work. It's absolutely not more work. If you make the transition to organics, you're going to mow 50% as often, 50% less, and you're going to water 70 to 100% less. I have not watered my lawn in 4 years.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to water it the first year that I established it, but if you manage your soil organically and you mow your lawn the proper way, then you won't have to water anymore. Watering will be a thing of the past.
Huh.
Absolutely. And it's some simple common sense techniques. But the whole lawn care industry is predicated on multiple applications of fertilizer per year. So the lawn grows faster, so they have to mow it more. So it's a money-making machine for the lawn chemical industry or for the lawn mower industry. You know, so there's ways around this where we're going to conserve resources. We're going to retain planetary health.
Thanks, Grant, for your call. Arwen is next from Eau Claire. Hi, Arwen.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Thank you for having me on. Paul, I just wanted to say I commend you for the work that you're doing. I think it's great. I actually own a green organic magazine in northwestern Wisconsin.
Okay.
It comes out every 2 months. And I wanted to guess, say that if it was cool with you, I would love to write up for our Earth Day issue about your movie and your website and what you're doing. And I guess my question was, if you would be any chance coming to the Chippewa Valley area, so the people might be able to read about you and then come and see you.
Yeah, I mean,
hear you talk.
Certainly people just call. I'm not quite sure how it happens, but people contact me through safelawns.org, and we schedule appearances all over the country, like I said.
Okay.
And you ought to come down to Stevens Point this
right.
weekend, and we'll meet each other, and you get to see the movie and hear the talks. And
okay.
I know Mike Novick from Chicago is coming over, and he's a great organic advocate as well. It's just an incredible lineup they have this weekend, both Friday night and all day Saturday.
Okay.
We're going to do book signings. I have the Organic Lawn Care Manual, and that's, again, at Stevens Point on Friday and Saturday this weekend. Come on down, and I'd be happy to talk with you and then schedule the chance to come back to Wisconsin. I was in Milwaukee at the Milorganite factory, three or four months ago, and I got to see what the work that they do and to make sure that all the materials are safe and sanitary. And I love coming to Wisconsin because it is a progressive state.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely check my schedule and see if I can't make it. Do you, by any chance, know of any more organic companies in our area? Because I know we had one, and then they left and went to the Twin Cities.
I probably do if we talk offline. I can't pull that out of my brain right now, and
sure.
I don't have my computer in front of me, but I'd be happy to talk to you.
Well, they'll be at the conferences too, don't you think, Paul?
I think they probably will. There are several at the Midwest Organic Lawn and Landscape Symposium on the 28th and 29th. There are numerous companies who are going to have booths
mm-hmm.
there. I know that Purple Cow Organics, Sandy, is going to be there with his compost products, and there'll be lots of other companies there from the great state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Arwen, so much for your call. Linda is next from Marinette. Hi, Linda.
Hi, I'm listening to the conversation, and it's great. I grew up on a farm, and we fertilized our fields basically with the cow manure.
Right.
So my question is, now that I live in town, I see all these people walking around with doggy bags, picking up after their dogs. Is that organic enough? Is it healthy enough for fertilizer for gardens or lawns or whatever? I mean, people are just throwing it into the garbage, basically.
Yeah, I mean, generally, health codes do not allow and recommend pet waste as part of the compost system. Now, I know some farmers who would certainly have no problem with that. I know people who use composting toilets, and they use the compost out of those toilets in their own gardens. And so that's a personal choice. I do know that state health regulations do not recommend that, so I wouldn't want to go across the air and violate those state regulations. I think that would be a personal choice. It's hard to know where the pets have been, what they've eaten. It's probably not something that I would do unless it were my own dog, and I know the dog was contained all the time.
Thanks very much for your call, Linda. We have lines open now. If you've been trying to get through, the number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Jill from, where are you from, Jill?
Pamlico, Wisconsin.
Okay, go right ahead.
I have several comments, and thank you very much for the opportunity to discuss topics. One is, I have a close acquaintance who is an attorney, and she's working in the Twin Cities for a large lawyer's firm, like over 100, and they are actively searching for precedent cases and statutes in order to maintain manufacturing their product, even though they know that there are statistics of its harm. Two things, as a nurse in the first 80s, I took care of a serviceman who swore he was exposed to Agent Orange and died of pancreas cancer, and everyone denied it. Secondly, a golf course maintenance worker was doing the golf course barefoot, and he died from paraquat poisoning, and his liver gave out, and he bled literally to death.
Ah.
So I cannot imagine in today's world how we ever allow anybody like the Fox River to have those PCPs deliberately. Where is the conscience of our scientists, our doctors, and our lawmakers? And I think what you were saying as far as the information available to everyone, that maybe it's time to change our Constitution and have individual votes on referendums of almost every major item that comes up. As long as you can pass a test on that legislation, you should be able to vote on it.
Paul.
Yes.
Your response.
Well, that's a lot of great information there and great points. And I think that in our movie, June Irwin was someone who dared to speak up, and not a lot of people do want to speak up. But the message here is that we do live in a democracy. And what's the great quote where Margaret Mead, and she says that, real change happens in the hands of just a few people. Change doesn't happen in the hands of a lot of people all at once. And so we do live in a society where we can take control. That's the message of the movie. That's certainly my message. I know I've been able to change some minds. And, I'm not a religious guy. This is my passion. This is what I preach, if you will, and maybe I get criticized for being too preachy. But, the previous caller, I think that's a great point. It's really shocking when you hear these anecdotal cases. People should know that 2,4-D, the primary ingredient in weed killers, and most of the weed killers in the United States, 2,4-D was 50% of the component of Agent Orange that did make all those servicemen ill. But yet we're putting this stuff on lawns. So that was a great comment. There's a lot of loaded language in there, and you try to reach a tone that's somewhere in the middle of the road, I guess.
Can you talk more, looking at larger regulation of this whole industry? You talk about the fact that people in this country have never heard of the precautionary principle, which is now compulsory part of Canadian and European law, directly as a result of the court case that is depicted in your movie. Can you talk more about that, Paul?
Well, the precautionary principle is a better safe than sorry approach to environmental law. And the judge who is depicted in the movie, she's a woman in her 80s now and still very, very much alive and very, very sharp, Judge Claire Leroux Dubé. You can look her up in Wikipedia. And when she was looking at this case, the chemical industry wanted to make it about toxicity. And they said, and what their argument always is if you have cancer, you suspect that maybe it was caused by your use of some chemical. But it's almost impossible to prove that. And so the lawn chemical industry will always hang behind that, saying, well, Joe, you got cancer, and yeah, you were a golf course superintendent, but boy, you could have got cancer from the sun. You could have got cancer from the water you drank out of your tap. You could have got cancer from anything. Joe, you can't prove that my chemicals caused your cancer. And what this judge did in a very historic decision is said, you know what? You don't have to wait until they're dead do something about it. If there's a preponderance of evidence that suggests that these chemicals are bad, then we have the right, even without absolute proof, we have the right to not have them around. That's the basis of the precautionary principle, and it doesn't just apply to lawn chemicals. It applies to everything having to do with health and the environment. And after that case, all of Canada said, you know what, that's going to be part of our law from now on. It has to pass the precautionary principle test, and you have to calibrate it carefully, because there are lots of things can kill you, cars and airplanes and guns, and so you're not going to ban cars and airplanes and guns, but you're going to regulate them carefully. You're going to put some laws in place. But with these chemicals, what they've decided is that for aesthetic purposes, for the sheer sake of killing a dandelion or some plantain or whatever you might have, that's not good enough reason to poison the environment and poison people potentially.
And it's true in Europe as well, all European countries or a few of them?
Yeah, most of European countries, as I understand, now have the precautionary principle. Most notable country that does not have it, guess who? The United States.
Right. Thank you, Jill, very much for your call. We go next to Karen from Pine River. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to let you and your listeners know of our annual Toward Harmony with Nature landscaping conference that's coming up in January 30th in Oshkosh at the Convention Center. And this is sponsored by our local chapter of Wild Ones, and it directly relates to a lot of the issues that your guest has presented this morning with finding alternatives to those extensive lawns and promoting the preservation and restoration of natural landscapes, which don't need all those pesticides and fertilizers and that sort of thing. So,
all right, we're
very interesting conversation with your guest this morning.
We're hopping with conferences on this. I guess Wisconsin is being better safe than sorry, huh, Paul?
Yeah, and Wild Ones is a great group. I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to make that conference, but good luck with it. And, yeah, absolutely, Madison is Madison and the whole state of Wisconsin. I think, you know, Milorganite took the good lead on this. They've been putting out organic fertilizer and doing something useful with the municipal sludge for quite some time. And then you have a progressive company, a new company like Chickadee Doo Doo coming in. And Wisconsin seems to be a very welcoming place for those kinds of companies.
Yes. Thank you, Karen, very much for your call. And again, that's in Oshkosh on January 30th, that conference. Jan from Milwaukee is next. Hi, Jan.
Oh, good morning. I'm sorry to rain on the parade of how great Wisconsin is. I am sitting with a form that I need to complete so that I can register for landscape pesticide application advance notification. There's a mouthful. What I need to write is the address of every single neighbor who is likely to use pesticide, so I can be notified in advance. Now, that won't stop them from actually using the pesticide. It will simply let me know that it's going to be used. But I can't put a block, as in a whole city block. I need to put every single address down so I can be notified. It's incumbent upon the person who's going to be poisoned to say, please, I would like to be notified before I am poisoned. Would you please let me know about this? I'm really passionate about how upside down this is. My husband died of Agent Orange exposure, and before his death, he worked long and hard to have pesticide regulation. He died before that happened. We at least have notification, but it's a very peculiar way to be notified.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, and the pesticide folks like myself who are or anti-pesticide folks, I mean, at least getting that notification procedure in place is a very small victory, and it is cumbersome for folks like yourself. And I get a lot of phone calls like this. And my answer is, we need to attack this at the state level. We need to go state by state, just like the pesticide lobbyists did. And we need to take back control. We need to get back the right to enact local legislation, like they've done in Marblehead, Massachusetts, where you can't put pesticides on anywhere on public property. They can still do it on private property, but they've had so much education now in Marblehead, Massachusetts, that very few people in that town put the pesticides down. I think we can attack this at the state level. I think that the time is right. I think if enough people see this movie, A Chemical Reaction, I think if all of us band together and we start to get the ear of the politicians, then we can change this and we can fulfill your husband's dream.
So
I would hope that in Wisconsin, at least, the sentence that says, by law, you can't be notified of agricultural applications and utility or transportation right-of-way applications, at least that language would be eliminated. I would love to see the precautionary principle adopted by Wisconsin and by every single state in the United States. It's about time. It's so about time.
Yeah. Have you talked to your neighbors, Jan? I assume you have.
Oh, of course. And they want a beautiful lawn.
Well,
at any cost.
We'll show them how to get a beautiful lawn. We'll show them how to get a beautiful lawn without the chemicals. And let me tell you what's happened up in Canada, is that Hudson's lawns are still beautiful. Hudson's lawns have a few dandelions in the springtime, and they certainly get the white clover bloom in July like the lawns are supposed to have. But that's what people consider to be beautiful again
in
Quebec. And if someone doesn't have any chemicals, the neighbors assume that the person with no weeds, if someone doesn't have any weeds, that is, all the neighbors look at that person and say, that person must be cheating. They figure that person must be driving to the United States, bringing the chemicals back into Quebec and cheating. And the neighbors look down their noses at them now.
That.
And they've been able to make that change now in one generation. It took 50 or 60 years to screw things up the way we screwed it up, but they fixed it in a relatively short period of time. We can do that in the United States if enough of us band together.
that's what it will take to change our standard of what beauty is.
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you, Jan. Thanks. Why don't you tell us about what your lawn looks like, Paul? Let's imagine it for a while. I've seen pictures of it. It's quite beautiful.
Well, actually, you know, when I was doing the book, I mean, I signed the book contract in 2005, and I said, boy, I better darn well have my lawn looking good when the photographer shows up in 2006. And the way you approach lawn care naturally is to take a soil test and figure out what's going on in the soil. If you have a lot of weeds, the weeds want to grow there in that soil, and if you want grass to grow, you want to modify the soil so that the grass will grow. So I took great pains in 2005, 2006 to make sure that my soil was, and I say great pains, it wasn't a tremendous amount of work, but I had to go get the soil test. I had to make sure that my pH was correct. I had to make sure that I had enough organic matter. I went out and bought some grass seed, and I overseeded pretty regularly because the best competition against weeds is young, actively growing grass plants. And my lawn was quite perfect in 2006, 2007. And my lawn still looks good, but you know what? I mow my lawn maybe 6 times a year because I don't put any chemical fertilizer on it, and it just grows quite slowly. I use things like turf-type tall fescue instead of Kentucky bluegrass. Kentucky bluegrass was brought here by the early settlers as cattle feed because it grew back so quickly. So I always tell people, if you like mowing your lawn every 4 days in the springtime, you know, grow Kentucky bluegrass and knock yourself out. But if you only want to mow your lawn every few weeks, then grow some of the other species, some of the fescues and other grasses that I have in the book that are grow much slower. You're not going to be using your mower all the time. You don't need to fertilize it. You don't need to water it. Again, like I already said in this program, the lawn care industry is set up as a money-making machine for an industry. Right. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. Paul Tukey is our guest this hour. He is the co-founder of Safe Lawns and Landscapes. You can go to his website at safelawns.org, Safe Lawns altogether. His latest film is A Chemical Reaction, and he's going to be making a couple appearances in the state of Wisconsin at some wonderful conferences coming up soon, one this weekend, right? The Great Visions Conference for Northern Climate Gardeners, and that is January 22nd and 23rd at the Ramada in Stevens Point. The film will be shown there, and he will be speaking there as well, and then he's returning to Madison on January 28th. We'll have more information. If you go to our Facebook page, Rhonda, after the show, give her a minute, please. We'll have the specific times that Paul will be speaking and more information about those conferences. So we're at, you go to Facebook and then go to the Kathleen Dunn Show, and the info will be there. More calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen. Oh, we also want to tell you that his book is the Organic Lawn Care Manual. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We return to phone calls now for Paul Tukey, and let's go to Bob from Clintonville. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Kathleen. I think this is probably your best show. Thanks very much. And to your guest, I don't know how you keep your energy up, but you're really doing a good job. Comments are quick. Cancer rates in dogs are almost, I don't have a hard number on this, but about 5 times what they are in people because the dog's rolling this. So recently, a friend of mine lost their dog to cancer of the heart. I mean, I've seen them lose their lives, cancer of the bones of their legs. This stuff is really bad for them. And people maybe don't care about their kids, but they often care about their dogs. So point that out to them, that cancer rates in dogs are just incredible, and it's related to pesticides.
Yep. No, and it's an excellent point. The dogs and cats are actually way more at risk because they're so low to the ground. They are so defenseless, and because they naturally want to eat and or lick the grass constantly, the people see the caution, warning, danger signs, and maybe they keep their kids off, maybe they don't, but they hardly ever keep their pets off. And so you are absolutely right. A study at Purdue University 3 or 4 years ago concluded that certain breeds of dogs are up to 7 or 8 times more likely to get bladder cancer when they're exposed to lawn pesticides. So that's a point that's made in the movie by a veterinarian, and again, a great point. Some people do care more about their pets than their kids, depending on how the kid's mood is and the parent's mood.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob, so much for your call. We go next to Patricia from La Crosse. Hi, Patricia.
Hello. How are you? Thank you so much for taking my call, and I appreciate the program very much. My question, or my comment and my questions. I've pretty much been an organic gardener for a long time, and then I took a master gardening class when I moved to Wisconsin, and I decided that grass was for rich people. So I've been slowly getting rid of my grass. I have a small city lot in La Crosse and mulching the whole thing. But I have still the boulevard against the street. And, of course, in Wisconsin, you put a lot of salt on your sidewalk during the winter, and all that salt eventually goes into the grass on the boulevard. And just wondered if there's any kind of product that you could use in the winter that would be more grass-friendly, or what kind of suggestions you'd have so it wouldn't really desiccate that area. And I'll hang up and take
Thanks, Patricia.
Okay, yeah, I mean, certainly there's a couple good answers there. One is that when you have an area like that where you know you're going to get a lot of salt runoff, sometimes it's best just to give up on growing grass and try to grow some other plants there that are more salt tolerant. There are plenty of ground covers that are more salt tolerant than grass. But the other thing is if you create that sponge factor in your soil by adding organic materials and by adding compost, then your soil is going to be more resilient against salt and any other kinds of contaminants. The worst thing you can do if you've got a salt problem like that is to add more fertilizer, because the plants see synthetic chemical fertilizer as salt, or they see the pesticides as salt. And so by going organic, you're going to have much less of an issue there. But you know, certainly if you have acute salt runoff from the wintertime, you might want to try growing something else there or just mulching it as well.
We go next to Tim from Bloomer. Hello, Tim.
Hello. Just a little bit earlier, there was a comment, I believe, by a caller who asked about organic producers in the Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire area. And I'm a producer of worm castings, and we do quite a bit. We're doing a little over a ton a week that we market and sell in the area. And our product is offered in a lot of the nurseries and greenhouses around here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just to answer that that question. And there are others in the area, too, that do grow worms and sell the worms as for composting and also the castings.
And okay. I'll say that worm castings, worm composting, worm poop, whatever you want to call it, it's the single greatest thing for growing plants or lawns or anything that you can find. It's absolutely has stunning results. Seeds germinate faster, plants grow better. They're more disease-resistant if you apply the worm castings. So I don't know who you are, sir,
yeah.
But I'm glad that you're doing that. I'm glad you're making those products available.
And along those same lines, we also do some organic produce that we market through a co-op up in Barron. And most of our produce goes to the restaurants out in Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And they're asking for the higher-end products like that and the organically grown ones. They taste better, they last longer, less waste when they're preparing food. So we've been finding the same thing, that it's just an excellent soil amendment, soil builder for improving the fertility of our soils.
Thanks very much for the call. Paul, tell us about where movements. We've already spent some time on the state of Wisconsin, and there's lots of activity here. Tell me where you have just a whole lot of people who are up in arms about the use of chemicals and are pressuring city halls and petitioning them to stop using these chemicals on public lands in the area, and where there has been, if any, successful movement to follow the better safe than sorry.
Yeah, there's a couple of states that come to mind, and the first one always makes people laugh because of public perception, but the most progressive state in the country right now on this issue is actually New Jersey.
Really?
More than 30 towns, communities have some sort of anti-pesticide regulations in place.
Huh.
And Connecticut did a great thing 3 years ago. They banned the applications of lawn weed killers, insect killers around schools and daycare centers. So they're doing a great job, and I can tell you that in Vermont, we did a 350-person premiere of the movie back in November, and there were several state legislators there, and also the same thing, there were several New Hampshire legislators at that same screening in Vermont, and we're going to be showing our movie to the entire seated legislators in both of those states, and they're kind of in a foot race now to see which state is going to ban these cosmetic lawn and garden chemicals first. And New Hampshire actually has a bill in place to appropriate money to study the issue. So my message there to folks is, you know, get some legislators out there to see the movie in Madison and Stevens Point, and stay on them, because politicians can actually make change for the good. I know politicians a lot of times get a bad rap, but you know, motivated politicians can create good change, and that's what this movie is all about. Rhonda just asked me about how people can get a copy, and the movie isn't for sale yet, but people can get a copy through donating to the Safe Lawns Foundation. You can send me an email, paul@safelawns.org, if you're interested in getting one, and we'll figure out how to get it into people's hands. I'll probably have a few copies with me when I come out there these next couple of weeks, but we'll eventually get it for sale for everybody, and we'll get it up online and all that. Right now, we have to go through this process of these premieres around the country first.
Right.
But short answer is, there are states out there that are making progress. You know, several counties in Florida have banned the application of synthetic fertilizers because they found that the runoff is raising heck with the oceans down there. So there are regulations in place, including what you folks are doing with Wisconsin with regard to phosphorus runoff.
Mm-hmm. Here's an email that's come in from James in Milwaukee. My wife is a volunteer at the Wisconsin Humane Society wildlife area, and every summer wildlife is brought in from city neighborhoods with neurological damage. Is there strong evidence that lawn care chemicals are responsible for such damage? Obviously, those little signs that say no children or pets, which lawn care companies stick in the ground, are not read by wildlife.
Yeah, absolutely. If you go on our website, I post a blog every single day, 365 days a year, with very few exceptions, and I put all of the studies that come out. They seem to come out almost weekly lately, linking non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, linking that, you know, obviously as a cancer, linking ADHD, linking autism. All of these things have been linked to the overexposure, or even, it doesn't even have to be overexposure, but just general exposure to lawn and garden pesticides. And certainly it's going to be a problem with pets if it is for people. These study after study after study, it's literally a mountain of evidence out there.
We go next to, thanks, Tim, so much for the call. Kathy is calling from Wausau. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kat. Hi. I'm with Garden Visions, and I just wanted to let people know that there is a late registration procedure that we would like people to call a number if they're interested in coming. Walk-ins for the movie are being accepted, and for Paul's movie on Friday night. However, the registration, if you want to come to the conference, we would like to at least have some phone calls. And that number is 715-693.
Oh, a little slower, please.
715-693-6446. Or people can email gardenvisions@gmail.com.
Okay. gardenvisions@gmail.com. Great. Have a very successful conference. I'm sure you will, Kathy.
Oh, it's going to be a great conference.
And Kathy, we'll see you soon, as long as the weather gods allow here.
That's right.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks for your call. How much speaking are you doing, Paul? Are you all over the country now?
Yeah, I generally, for the last 6 or 7 years, average between 75 and 125 appearances a year.
Wow.
In the U.S. and Canada. I mean, this is my full-time job. Sometimes it is hard to keep the energy up, only because it takes me away from my family. And I have young children. I have older children, and I like to be home with them as much as possible. But, you know, I just, at the end of the day, I feel a real sense of urgency here, because there's so many bad things happening in the world that we really can't do that much about. But everybody can do something about this, meaning they can control what they apply to their lawns and landscapes. You can also apply certainly concerns the products that you use inside your house as well. And this is how we can all make a difference to save the planet. And I feel, because I have children, I feel a certain desperation about this.
Yeah. Do your children help out with your property?
I have a 3-year-old. I have a 5-month-old. I have a 17-year-old son, and you'd think he'd help out a lot, wouldn't you? And I have a daughter who's 25 in med school. The 17-year-old will help out if I pay him.
Yeah, I've got a 17-year-old. I know the story, Paul.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure to speak with you. Keep us up to date on your progress and speaking to us.
Thank you. I hope everybody from Wisconsin comes out to see us these next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. Bye. And that film is definitely worth seeing. So a couple pieces of information. Paul Tukey, our guest, his book is The Organic Lawn Care Manual. The movie is A Chemical Reaction. He said that you can get more information about finding that film by writing to him at paul@safelawns.org. And we have information on Facebook. Rhonda will put it up in just one moment about the conferences taking place in Wausau and in Madison. So, I'm sorry. Let me make sure we get his email is ptukey, T-U-K-E-Y, @safelawns.org. So that's how you reach him. And go to Facebook, go to the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we'll have a listing of the conferences taking place in and around the state. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this show, to Rhonda as well for on-air production, and to all of you for your great phone calls. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 9. Great conversation coming up.